Right, let us just pray. Father, we just thank you. Your word can never be broken. Indeed, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Father, our own better may not be your own better. Our own definitions and understanding at times, because we do not know the end from the beginning. You do. So our own understanding of what is better may not be what you mean. And Lord, I just pray right now that you will give us an understanding. I pray over my heart that as I hear you speak, I simply say what you're saying, not what I want to say. I pray over every heart that will be hearing your word. You hold the hearts of even kings, and we are all kings. By the blood of Jesus, you've made us kings and priests unto you, our Father. Turn every heart according to your will to hear what you're saying, not what we want to hear. Help us, O God, that what we will hear is what your spirit indeed is saying. So let there be an entrance of your word. Give us understanding. In the simplicity of your word, let there be light. Enlighten our understanding at this time. And Father, help us. Not just to hear what you're saying, but to see what you're saying and to see ourselves in what you're saying. And Lord, we return all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. And one more time, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, thank you for that echo, amen, there. Glory be to God. Another echo again. You know, that reminds me of our first son. Now, this is unscripted. Our first son does not really like me talking about him. So if our first son is hearing me, he should just, at this stage, just block his ears. It just reminds me, our first son, the very first word he spoke was the word amen. We were praying. I will never forget, it was about 9 months old, and we were praying one morning, you know, as usual, and of course the young man had been watching us at 9 months. So my wife and I remember we kneeled by the bed, we put him on the bed because he wasn't walking then, and of course he wasn't talking. And we're praying this particular morning, and as we're praying, and you know, I prayed, my wife would pray, and we were saying amen, we just started hearing we're praying again, you know. My wife would say amen. We just hear, and then the next thing, amen. Amen. And then we stopped. We looked in the direction where we laid him on the bed. And he said, amen. And then the began, amen, 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 amen. Throughout that day, that's all he said. I was so excited going to work that morning that I was hearing amen, amen, amen in my ears all day. I got to work. I was smiling. People asked me, why are you smiling? I said, my son spoke. Our baby spoke for the first time. I kept hearing his amen. When I got back home after work, the guy was still there. Amen, amen. The amen was now clearer. That was the first word he spoke. We didn't know, he was just giving us a sample. Before we knew it, he started saying words, started constructing sentences. By the time he was a year old, he was already in a full-blown conversation with an adult. Now, why am I saying this? It was my greatest joy that day as an earthly father with my own human limitations to hear my child talk to me. And I remember that day, like yesterday, like today, that I heard quietly the Spirit of God tell me, this is how your Heavenly Father is excited when he hears your voice. This is how God is happy when you talk to him. God is so excited when we come to him. You know, it reminds me of when God made the first man and the first woman. And the Bible says he will come in the cool of the day just to fellowship with them, just to hear them speak, to commune. God was always looking forward to that. So I just want to tell you today, if it's you can say to God, if it's groaning, which cannot be uttered, that you can say to God, whatever it is that is in your heart, because listen, people, that is what God hears. Not just the words we speak, but the heart behind the words. And that is why the Bible tells us God does not look at the outward. He looks at the heart. Outwardly, so many of us might be looking so happy today. Outwardly, at this time, at this point, some of us are happy, genuinely happy, and it's seen all over you because maybe you woke up and you checked every target you set this year and you could tick everything and you are dancing, you are joyful. And there might be some of us, you checked all the targets, all the goals, all the things you said 2021 will be achieved, and you can't even tick one that has been done. You are putting on a facade, you're wearing nice clothes, you're smiling, but underneath, behind that facade, behind that smile, is a broken heart. It's a broken spirit. It's a heart that seriously is grieving, is mourning. Listen, that is what God wants to hear. Not all the Christianese language, not all the, you know, niceties we want to say. If God is looking at the heart, that is what God is listening to. So why don't you just express yourself? Why don't you just be like a Jeremiah who was lamenting, and the lamentations were captured in a whole book in the Bible, the book of Lamentations. And when you look at it, there was a time he lamented, but he said something and realized. He said, this gives me hope when I recall this to my mind. It is of the Lord's mercies that I have not been consumed. Because his mercies are new every waking day. His compassions, they do not fail. Great indeed has been his faithfulness. He was lamenting, but he recalled to his mind. And he says, this gives me hope. That when I wake up every day, it's of the Lord's mercies. When I wake up every day, God's mercies are new. New mercies are waiting for me. So you know what? I have hope. Things may not have happened the way I want, but I know one thing. God is still faithful. God will say and do just what he says he will do. The Bible says, as he said it, shall he not do it? As he promised it, shall he not bring it to pass? Listen, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should repent. I shared with us last week, around this season, 20 years ago, it's 21, it will be 21 years ago, when I was going all over the place, preaching and telling people that bad things don't happen to people at the end of the year, that God crowns the year with his gladness, with his goodness, his path drop fatness. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I put all these scriptures together, and everywhere I was invited throughout the month of December, right from even the month of October, everywhere I went to preach, I told people, don't fear. Fear not. Good things will happen. Bad things will not happen. God has never designed it that way. And at this time, my wife was expecting. We were expecting our second baby. And the baby was born 27th of December 2000. Do the maths, 21 years ago. And 2 days after, 29th of December 2000, the baby died. Here was I going about telling everybody God is good. Here was I going about telling everybody bad things don't happen at the end of the year. here was I, encouraging people, fighting and binding and casting the devil, feeling on top of the world. And then, would you say that was a good thing? Can you lose a child? You're standing on the pulpit encouraging people. Can you lose a child and keep on saying that God is good? Listen, I'm coming to you 21 years after to tell you God is good. I'm coming to tell you 21 years after that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Some of us may not know what better really is. Some of us may not know what good God is actually doing. The Bible says that he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. The good of those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, what we call good may not be what God calls good. What we call bad, listen, may not actually be what God calls bad. And I will tell us the second part. When we went into the hospital, and, you know, I got into the hospital, my wife was, and the baby were meant to be, had been discharged. And I remembered a knock on my door. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it was the doctor from the hospital where I left my wife and the baby the previous day. And I saw the doctor. I said, what's the doctor doing in my house very early in the morning? And I saw the look on his face. The doctor, I said, doctor, is everything okay? He looked, he couldn't meet me in the eye. And mind you, this was a private hospital, one of the best hospitals in the city where we were living then. I said, is everything okay with my wife? I still remember like yesterday. He said, your wife is okay. I said, is it the baby? Is everything okay with the baby? He looked away. He said, no, sir. I said, the baby is dead. That's what I said. He said, I'm afraid, yes. Noah was at this time our first son. Sorry, I'm talking about him again. Block your ears. 1 year, 9 months. Was 1 year, 9 months old. I remember I said he could talk. He was already talking. He could, you know, he knew about the baby. We had gone together the previous day to go and see his sister. He was excited. He even gave the sister a name, you know. So I was carrying him in my hands, and the doctor looked at me, and I entered my car. He said, sir, can you drive? I said, yeah, no, 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 don't you worry. Get inside your car. I'll get inside mine. Let's go to the hospital. I had only one thing at the back of my mind, sir. We're going to raise that baby from the dead. And we went. I got into the hospital. My wife was already surrounded with all the medical personnel, the nurses. The baby was on the bed, stone cold dead. My wife's, you know, she had lost it. Let me just put it that way. Trying to stay calm. And I said, carry the baby. And we began to pray. It was around 6 a.m. I still remember. We began to pray. I was praying, God, in the name of Jesus, you are God, you cannot lie. You raise the dead, you heal the sick, you make the blind see, you make the lame walk. I command this baby, you will come back to life. While we're doing that, I remember, if my wife will remember, our senior pastor came with his wife, came. He walked in to, you know, come give my wife some food in the hospital. God bless church people. Some of you are running out away from church and you're not planted in a church. You don't know what you're missing. That's God's family. That's God's own way of putting you on the straight and the narrow. That's God's own way of giving you a family you never had. It's God. It's called God's family, the church. She came with some food to bless my wife and rejoice with us with the birth of the baby. And she saw us in that place praying. She tapped me. I called her outside. Said, what happened? What happened? I said, the baby's dead. She just jumped inside, grabbed the baby, and began to pray. She was screaming. She was praying. We were chanting. We were screaming. We were praying. Nothing happened. So I told the doctor, and please, I'm not telling you the country where this happened so that you don't go check, because it was a bad medical practice. But you know, when there's chaos, there's chaos. Nobody thinks. I said, doctor, can I take this baby to the church? He looked at me. I just carried the baby. I told my wife, dress up. You know, she was still in the nightgown, the hospital, whatever. We entered the car. My wife and I, she carried the baby in her hands, and we're driving to the church that we were pastoring then. And we were driving, and I remember as we were going, my wife will remember, we saw our sister coming to the hospital. Of course, you know, we just had the baby and everybody's rejoicing. I just drove past her. She was looking, why am I driving like mad like this? I just drove past her, went straight to the church. I remember on the way, I saw two young men, firebrand young men. God bless them. They said, where are you going, Pastor? I just said, get inside my car. Get inside my car. They said, what? I said, see that baby. We're going to raise that baby. He said, what, the baby? Let's go. We went to church, and I put the baby on the altar, and we began to pray. We prayed from 6 a.m. till about past 12 noon, almost 1 p.m. that day. Said, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until this child comes back to life. I don't know how news spread, but we started seeing pastors across the city. How they knew, they walked to the church auditorium where we were with the baby on the altar, and everybody started praying. We sang, we danced, we bound, we lose. Excuse me, people, I had no iota in my mind that the baby would come back to life. That was how strong my faith was. We prayed, we bound, we loosed. You know, somebody said, you know, let's go into Thanksgiving. Let's start worshiping. Let's dance. Let's jump. Let's loose. Let's bind. Let's cast. Let's uncast. Let's rewind. Let's forward. I can laugh now. Please laugh. I'm giving you a message of hope. Listen, this is 21 years after. My wife and I are still married. Well, we look back and we thank God we went through that experience. Listen, one after the other, Grandma, all the pastors who came to pray with us started going out. You know, when you are praying and it's like, this is not working, they just started walking out. I didn't know how everybody walked out, and we were left there. I remembered, I said, please take my wife away. So they took my wife away, just leave us with the baby. So myself and these two young men I picked along the way, firebrand young men. Young men, you know, young men who will believe anything. We kept on praying. They told me, Pastor, even if we stay till 6 p.m., we will wait. This baby is coming, but we're not leaving this place, Pastor. They stayed with me. Everybody walked away. We were praying. But one of the pastors, when they were going, whispered into my ears. He said, this is what I saw as we were praying. I saw this baby wrapped in white and gold, and I saw the baby being translated to heaven. He said, are you ready to release this child? I said, no. I said, no. And we kept on praying. She left. And God spoke to me. If I bring this child back to life, can you guarantee this child's future? And I said, Lord, I can't. Can you guarantee that this child will live a righteous life? Serve me all the days of her. Can you guarantee her health? Can you guarantee her condition? Can you guarantee? Can you? I said, Lord, I can't. I said, Lord, I surrender to your will. If it is your will, this may offend some people's theology. But if this is what you're saying, that this child is sinless and you want the child, we should let the child go. At that point, I just broke down. I was crying. And I remembered our most senior pastor walked in, carried the baby, prayed, and he said, Pastor, let's go and bury her. And that was it. We let go. We let God. By the grace of God, our marriage stronger, love between my wife stronger. God has blessed us. We had another son. We've had many children. We've had many adopted children. We've had many spiritual children. And we're giving glory to God. I'm just sharing this with you. This is the end of 2021. What is your story? What boxes have not been ticked? Listen, God, who knows the end from the beginning, whatever your situation is, it's not taking him by accident. Whatever disappointment you're going through right now, listen, Every disappointment can be an appointment with God. Whenever you are disappointed, listen, that can be another appointment for you with God. Don't be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Be of good courage. Listen, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. God, in the midst of gross darkness, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah and chapter 60, that in the midst of gross darkness, that is when God is saying, arise. That is when God is saying, shine. Listen, it takes darkness. It takes gloominess. It takes when everything is doom. When everything looks like this is the end. It takes all that for the intensity, the power, your usefulness, the blessing that light can bring. It takes that. In the midst of darkness, that is when light can be seen. That is when light can really shine. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, and I read from the Amplified Version. Amplified Version. Isaiah and 60. Let me get my Isaiah up and get to you chapter 60. Because I want to share with us, as we round up this year, because from Monday, from midnight today, we are going into a time of retreating. We are retreating. We are just going to spend time the last 12 days of the year in God's presence. Listen to what Isaiah, the prophet, God spoke to him. It says, arise. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. I don't know if that's what's on your screen. But listen to this. It says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come. And the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2, he says, for in fact, darkness will cover the earth. And deep darkness will cover the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you. Please put your name there. But the Lord will rise upon me, Fola. The Lord will rise upon me, Ayode Jolu Fola, Olawiye. And his glory and brilliance will be seen on you. Verse 3 says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. This scripture is deep and you need to read it till the end. You need to read it, meditate on it, think about it, and put yourself in it. And start seeing yourself in this scripture. It takes darkness. It takes gross darkness. The King James puts it that way. It takes deep darkness for light to be seen. And I'm telling you, the darker it is, the darker it is, the easier and the better for the littlest of light to shine and be seen. And when people see light, they come to you. People will gravitate towards the light. So I'm telling somebody whose situation can be described as darkness. Right now, at this time of your life, whose situation resembles Genesis chapter 1, where there's emptiness, where there's void, where darkness is all around you. Listen, it is time to shine. It is time to manifest the glory of God. And listen, as we begin to prepare for the last 12 days of the year, and I will tell you this, many years ago, God spoke to us and spoke clearly every last 12 days of the year. Of course, it's a festive period. Of course, it's a family time. Of course, it's a time people travel, people do this, people do that. You've not seen family. You want to spend time with them. It's a time that people celebrate, exchange presents, do all sorts. God said, if you can make this sacrifice, and you wait on me for the last 12 days. In the midst of all the feasting, you wait and hear me out. And I will instruct you and I will guide you for the next 12 months of the following year. Do not wait till you enter a new year to receive the plan for that year. Listen, before you move, if you are using a sat navigating system or a GPS, like the Americans will call it, you do not move until you have set your destination. You set where you're going first. You don't get where you're going before you set the destination. You set it before. So don't wait until the new year to know where you're going. Let me instruct you. According to the Bible, Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you, I will guide you, I will teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. It is a very difficult time. Are you saying don't celebrate? Are you saying don't spend time with family? No, just be in a place where your heart is tuned, where you are receiving, where you are not carried away. Because listen, statistics from people I interact with, and you know, especially people who are so hung up on religion that they must spend this, they must do that, Christmas Day. People say Christmas Day for them is the most horrible day of the year, as exciting as it would be. And there is a, what's this thing when there's a high and then there's a low immediately? There's a word that is used. I don't know what that word is. But, you know, the high just comes and the low, boom. So it's always even a gloomy day. On that day, people remember, oh, so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, my dad, my mom will have been here. They were here last year. So it's usually a sad day for some people, 25th of December. Of course, our children, they're excited. They get presents. And some of them are angry because you promised them a PlayStation. You got them a station that did not play, you know. You know, auntie is angry with daughter. Daughter is angry with uncle because the present they gave them was not what they wanted. What's this rubbish? What's that? That? These? People end up fighting on Christmas Day. Christmas Day is meant to be to remember the birth of Christ. I'm not going to any theological debate. I don't care. All I know, whether Jesus was born in December, October, or January, he was born. That is what matters. It is why he was born that matters. I don't care when he was born. When he was born is completely irrelevant. Why he was born? To reconcile mankind back to God, to bring us to that place where God said, man, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over everything I've created. That is what matters. Listen, I'd rather focus on the why, live for the why, run with the why, than bothering myself about theological debates and whatnot. Listen, I just want to guide us, instruct us. We've paid the price. We have seen the dividends over and over and over. Every single day from the 20th till the 31st, crossing over into every new year, to just be in a place, I want to hear God. I want to hear what you're saying to me. And I'm telling you, God has not disappointed. Why? Because he says, Jesus said, I will give you another comforter. Listen, what do you need comfort for if you are not going through grief? What do you need comfort for if you are not going through a disappointment? What do you need comfort for if you are not going through a loss? What do you need comfort for if everything you've planned and everything has collapsed? By this time, listen, you have a comforter. You don't need comfort when everything is rosy. You need comfort when things are not. He said, I will give you another comforter. This is one of the things he will do. He will always be with you. He will be your counselor. He will be your advocate. He will be your guide. He will be your teacher. Listen to this powerful one. He will show you things to come. Things to come. I'm telling you, I will not trade that with anything. If the Holy Spirit can show me things to come in March next year before I get to March, I will not trade that with jollof rice. I will not trade that with Christmas pudding. I will not trade that with, what else are you eating? What's that thing? I heard about it until I tasted it. I said, what's this? You know, that one that is green, that's round. Sprout. I will not trade my future with a pot of pottage. In the midst of all the celebration, please make sure you're in a place where you can hear God speak to you. That's the whole instruction. And I'm telling you to the glory of God. That's what has been keeping us going. Please, it is not by force. You don't have to. But if you want to, we are starting a retreat, 12 midnight, from today, 20th to the 31st of December. To just wait on the Lord to hear what God is saying. And listen, I need to explain this. I was in the bathroom and the Holy Spirit was instruct us. Some of the things God says to us may not even be for now. God may give an instruction now because God knows what is to come to prepare you for what is to come. Some people now are realizing that God spoke to them 3 years ago during the retreat. It's happening now. And when the word comes to, don't give it your own private interpretation. Like somebody was sharing, said when they heard the first day last year into this year, and the first day the man of God came and said, expect the unexpected. They were scared. Said because in January they were expecting something and they've been praying for it for 7 years. So if the word comes and says, expect the unexpected, what kind of, no, Lord, I don't want to hear this. No, that means that what I'm expecting in January will not happen. It is the unexpected that will happen. And they interpreted it to mean that means they won't get what they've been waiting, praying for. So they made the application, and then in January, the unexpected happened. What they were expecting did not happen. It was what they didn't expect. They were turned down, the application was turned down, and they almost went into depression. That was them interpreting the word of God the way they wanted. But God knew what he was saying. Because in this same year, by November, what they were expecting in January came to pass. Excuse me, God is never late. God is never too early. God is just always on time. And you know what God's on time means? The most beautiful, appropriate time, suitable time for you now and for your future. That is when it will come to pass. Oh, by now, I've planned that I will be married. I will be married. I should be married. This was my, 5 year, 10 go, or 1 year, 12 month plan. I'm not married now. Listen, if you go and force the time, if you go and force yourself to have a breakthrough, listen, I've learned one thing. God's breakthrough is not our own breakthrough. Oh, I pray for something, I got it. Breakthrough! In the name of Jesus, I got my breakthrough. Listen, let me tell you God's breakthrough. Samuel, only you can handle this. Every other person can't. Grandma, maybe grandma too, because grandma has gone through a lot also. And when I see people like grandma, you've been a widow for how many years? 20 years she's been a widow. How many children did you have? 5 children. 20 years ago, her husband passed away, left, and she had to raise 5 children on her own. 5. And you see grandma still serving God, coming to church, still it's not been easy because grandma, very simple, open woman, she will tell you as it is. I don't like people who don't tell you as it is, not with grandma. Grandma will tell you as it is. And I'm telling you, some of us don't know that is what integrity is. Saying it as it is. Not trying to be nice. Not trying to hide anything. 20 years a widow. To the glory of God, all our children are grown up today. Every one of them here and there and there. And grandma, God will establish those children for you. Amen. It's time for you to start reaping your reward. Listen. It's not them that will reward you. Your reward comes from the Lord. 20 years, 5 children. Grandma is in her 60s, so you can do the maths. So in her 40s, she was left with 5 children to look after. 5. Why am I saying this? Some of you, it's just you believe God to give you cake. You didn't get the cake, you are upset. Would you like to exchange places with grandma? Can I just ask? Maybe you would like, just swap places. It's cake you didn't get. It's somebody that didn't say hello to you. It's somebody that didn't greet you. It's somebody that's just said something nasty about you, and then that's it. That's it! Maybe you need to exchange places. Oh, you prayed for this, it didn't happen. That's it, God is not good anymore. What do you want grandma to say? By the grace of God, one of the things God commanded us as a church is to look after people like her. And for as long as we have breath, we will look after her. And I'm saying this, okay? I'm saying this now. Take it as a rhema. Take it as he's talking rubbish, whichever divide. Let every one of us bless this woman this Christmas. Are you clapping? Why are you clapping? Bless her, okay? When I say bless, don't meet her, grandma. God bless you. No. We are tired of that kind of God bless you. I've had it so many times. God bless you. I'm blessed already. Why can't God use you to bless me? Which means do something that will bless me. God is not going to come down from heaven. It's you. We are praying for blessing. God bless me. God, how many people have you blessed? Give, and it shall be given to you. So do you want to be given to you? Give to grandma. So start thinking, what? Let me do something for her. And please, don't be like somebody who rang me. Don't be like somebody who rang me. Oh, Pastor, how are you? I said, I'm fine. Ah, so you've gone to Nigeria to bury your father? I said, yeah. Ah, and I wanted to give you money, you know, I wanted to give you money. I felt like slapping the person. You wanted to give me money. You wanted to give me money. I needed money. You didn't give me. You wanted to. How did that bless my life? You wanted to. There is nothing you wanted to that blesses anybody. Do it! Oh, and I wanted to. Honestly, I wanted to. At times, we are the ones delaying our own blessing because we do not bless others. At times, we are the ones withholding our own mercy because we do not show mercy to other people. Please, we are entering a time where God is waiting for us to manifest his glory, where everything we do will be for his glory. And please, let me encourage you. You're going through a disappointment right now. You are counting, you are checking. Nothing has happened. This word is for you. Be encouraged. God, who has promised, the Bible says, great is his faithfulness. Great, faithful is he who has promised, who will also do it. Please let him do it in his time. Please lift up your hands, everybody. Lift up your hearts. Let's pray. I don't know where you are. I'm closing here. Father, thank you. Please talk. Remember, he wants to hear your lamentation. If it's, you can say, like my baby. Just say it. Where are you at? Stop pretending. Stop making it look like you're okay. You are not okay. Let God hear. Straight from your heart. What is in your heart right now? Because this crucial last 12 days, God is going to fix things. God is going to reset things. God is going to start making things new. Surrender. Please surrender. 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 You've had prophecy upon prophecy. It's not happened. You were told it will happen by this time. Please surrender. Just surrender. In your time, oh God. You make all things beautiful. Lord, please show me every day. Teach me every day. Show me your ways. I may not understand. I don't really think I do. When we lost that baby, I said, God, there's something I'm not getting here. There is something I am not getting. I know you are a God. You can never be wrong. I am the one who will be wrong. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to query you. This baby died. Lord, whatever you are showing me, whatever you are teaching, I receive it. Today, countless people God has helped us to comfort. Why? He comforted us. I knew the comforter through that nasty experience. Lord God Almighty, I pray. Please talk to him. Just talk. Where you are, remove the mask. Take off the mask. Take off the facade. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is brooding. Brooding like he did in Genesis chapter 1. It's going on, brooding on your emptiness, on your darkness, on your void. Wait. God is about to release light. God is about to fill that void. God is about to rearrange and reset your life. Wait. I sense the Spirit of God, like in Genesis 1, brooding on every heart in this place. And please don't be distracted, including the children, please. Do not. This is your life. Just talk to him for a few minutes. Then we'll take the announcement. Just talk to him. Just a few more minutes.